We are speaking to Rosalind Gaiter. She's an entry scheme education advisor at DFID in the UK. And here at NORAD, we have invited Rosalind here because she is working on technology and education. Welcome to Oslo.
Thank you very much. It's my first time in Norway and I'm enjoying it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We've had the opportunity to learn a little bit about how to map how ICT and how technology can be introduced in education at the basic level, but also in teacher education. And you've been working on some fascinating issues lately. Could you please tell us what have you been doing in your job over the last several months?
Of course. So having started this work around August, we identified that there was a need for timely and relevant synthesis of research that explored the relationship between educational technology, or edtech, and teaching and learning in the Global South. So what we've done in the last few months is we have identified around 80 studies, critically appraised them, and synthesized the research to explore that relationship. So specifically, we're looking at the impact of students using technology, the impact of teachers using technology, both on changing the teaching and learning process, and also on whether that intervention improves student outcomes. And as a sort of sideline, we're also looking at school management information systems.
Yes, and you also looked at inclusive education. You also saw if there were any findings on how to use ITC for the inclusion of your children with disabilities. And there you said that there's no guarantee for an effective use of technology by just introducing it. You said that it has to be adapted to children with disabilities. And we all know that there's a range of disabilities that people can have also. So maybe you could let us know a little bit about your what you have seen on this.
Definitely. I mean, so I think we took a slightly broader look than disability and looked at kind of marginalisation more generally. Of course, children with disabilities being one group. But certainly we looked at the impact of edtech programmes and to what extent they programme with disadvantaged groups specifically in mind. And just as you were saying, it seems that many times those groups are excluded, not necessarily deliberately, but because the programme isn't designed specifically to accommodate the needs of that group, whether it be children with disabilities, children in rural areas, women and girls, or children from certain ethnic groups, unless the program is designed specifically to cater to those needs, and also keeping in mind the kind of cultural dynamics within the community in which you're working, the programs end up potentially risking exacerbating inequalities. So that's one of the big findings looking at these papers. And certainly in terms of children with disabilities and technology, I think there's so much more work that needs to be done and so much more to learn about how we can provide affordable assistive technologies that include and empower children with disabilities.
And how did you identify these reports? I have looked myself online now preparing for this topic, and it's not very easy to find materials. And I'm very impressed that you were able to identify 80 surveys or studies. So how did you go about to find them, and what were you looking for particularly?
So first of all, we set the parameters and we decided that we would focus on 21 countries where DFID has education programmes as our first port of call for the geographic remit. But then as our second port of call, we also wanted to look at other low and lower middle income countries. So we employed someone who is a specialist in how to search online, and we included quite a broad range of different studies. So as well as academic papers, we also included grey literature and information reports, as well as more sort of academic analysis. And obviously this meant that for the critical appraisal, not everything could be appraised in the same way. So we included papers, the information papers and the programme reports, but didn't necessarily appraise them using the same criteria as for some of the other papers.
So, and yes, I understand now that your paper is being peer reviewed and it will be launched quite soon. Can you tell us a bit about when and where we can get access to this information?
Yes, definitely. So the paper is currently being peer reviewed. We have some internal peer reviewers and also some externals. And if anyone's listening who's peer reviewing, thank you very much for all the hard work you're doing. So after the peer review, we will do a little redraft, and then hopefully the paper will be published in June, freely available to download online. There's also a launch event in London on the 4th of June. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, I can give you more information about that. And there'll also be another few events to talk in more detail about the findings, which we're really excited about.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know you also have a blog on the DFID site that I've been consulting. So it's very exciting, the work that you're doing, very important. And I want to thank you again for coming to Oslo, to NORAD, to share with us. And I wish you a very good trip back to London.
Thank you. And if anyone else wants to start reading my blog, that would be great, because I think it's just maybe three or four of us at the moment. So please, please have a good read. Thank you.
We will share it. We will tweet it. Thank you so much.